Somebody say faith in action. Faith in action. Please, as you're making your way back to your seats, please do whatever you possibly can do to bring as many people with you on Sunday as you possibly can. I believe God is going to do some tremendous things on this Easter, and we're just going to believe that the more people that are here that need the Holy Ghost, that they're going to get it. The more people that are here that need healing, they're going to get it. Somebody said amen. Now, we have prayed, we have sought God. I believe healing has happened. I believe deliverance has happened. I believe strength has happened. Is it all right if I just talk to you for a little bit now? And say a little prayer for my voice. I messed it up a little bit. Don't know what's wrong, but we know a healer. We know a healer, so we're going to do our best here today. But in order to do what I feel like God has told me to do, I have to recap a little bit about what we discussed in the first part of our service today. And let me just encourage you that, and remind all of us, we do not have two services on Sunday. We have one service on Sunday. And in that one service is our Christian living portion of it at 10:30. And our celebration portion of it at 11:30. If you're a guest here today and they invited you for the 11:30, we're glad you're here. And but I say that not to get on to anybody. I say that because it's very important that when God does something in a church, he doesn't line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. And how many know it's very important that we are in every service, so that when God speaks to us, we can understand what he's doing. And he's building and he's building and he's building. And if we miss several services or whatever the case may be, we're kind of lacking. And you can get the downloads, and we want you to, but how many know it's just not the same? It's just not the same. And but we are thankful for the ministry that allows us to do the downloads. Please make yourself available to those and get those. And but let me just quickly here now. I got to get going. Recap what we discussed the first part of our service. For we discussed the fact that from time to time, be it a Holy Ghost service here, a Power Sunday, a healing and deliverance service, whatever the case may be, from time to time, how many's ever heard me say that typically towards the end of the service, I'll say, I am going to pray the prayer of faith. Raise your hand if you've ever heard me say that. I said, I'm going to pray the prayer of faith. And when the time was right, and when the Holy Ghost released me to do so, I would begin the prayer of faith by saying, upon the authority of the word of God and by the power of the name Jesus. And then I would proceed to speak and declare whatever it was that God gave me direction, or gave us direction to pray about, upon the authority of the word of God and by the power of the name Jesus. Now, I feel to give a little bit of explanation for this today, because I think it's important that we understand why I say that and why I did that, especially as it applies to this Faith in Action series. I turn your attention to the word of the Lord, and it says this in James chapter 5 and verse 14. James chapter 5 and verse 14. It says, any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now watch this, verse 15. And the prayer of faith, somebody say the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. If he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Verse 16. Confess your faults one to another, pray one for another, that ye may be healed. Why? Because the effectual fervent prayer, referring back to the prayer of faith, of a righteous man availeth much. Prayer of faith. Prayer of faith. Now, it's very important. I want you to see this, and I want you to get this. Nowhere in that verse, and this will be talked through the Christian living portion of our service about today, but nowhere in that verse does the Bible give us an actual prayer formula that we would need to repeat and say that would constitute us saying the prayer of faith. Okay, he doesn't say pray the prayer of faith, and the prayer of faith is this, And then it lists a prayer that we're supposed to repeat, or a certain prayer that we're supposed to just memorize and invoke whenever the time is needed. No, that's not, there is no specific prayer as it applies to the prayer of faith. For when it speaks of the prayer of faith, it is simply talking about a believer. How many believers do we have in the room? A believer praying in faith. Okay? That's what he's talking about. That when you go to pray for someone, if you're going to lay your hands on them for healing or deliverance or whatever the case may be, when you go to pray for them, he said, I want you to pray in faith. Pray in faith. No matter what words are used, no matter what you say, no matter how you say them, you need to pray in faith. So that begs the question, so then why do I, along with others, pray such a similar prayer when we say upon the authority of the word of God and by the power of the name Jesus? Why do we pray a similar prayer if that prayer isn't spelled out for us to say in the word of God? And so this is what I felt to answer today in this service. And so here's my answer to that question. If we are going to witness what God says we can witness, and if we're going to experience and walk in this dimension of apostolic power and authority like God has promised us that we can walk in, there are two vitally important understandings and revelations that we must have when we pray. The first understanding that we must have when we pray is that our foundation for praying, our foundation for believing, rests completely and utterly on the authority of the word of God. The authority of the word of God. Now, I'm not going to get into any of it that I talked about. We took the first part of our service today and we went in length and in talking about the authority of the word of God. And I would highly recommend, if you missed it, to get the download of that. But that's the first thing. If we're going to walk in this dimension of faith, we have got to have an understanding that what we are walking in and what we are being obedient to is based upon the authority of God. It's not man-made. It's God-ordained. Somebody said amen. And the second thing that we must know when we pray is that there is great power in the name of Jesus. Somebody just shout Jesus.
Jesus.
Like you mean it. Shout Jesus.
Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. So, an understanding of the authority of the word of God and by the power of the name Jesus. That's why when I go to pray for someone or when I go to pray for something, whatever the case may be, I will pray by the authority of the word of God and by the power of the name Jesus. Why? Because I want to remind myself. When I say those words, for me, when I speak those words, there is something in me that begins to rise up. There is the spirit man begins to bubble forth in faith, because when I speak the authority of the word of God, all of his word and the things I've been taught and the things that I know and the fact that this is God's word, all of those understandings come flowing into my spirit. The authority of the word of God, and all of that comes rushing in. And then when I say, and by the power of the name of Jesus, when I speak that understanding of the power that is in the name of Jesus, again, it comes crescendoing in my spirit. And so as I lay my hands or pray for an individual, and so when it allows me. So that's why I begin my prayer by saying on the authority of the word of God and by the power of the name Jesus, because it causes the boldness. It causes me to understand it's not me just laying hands on somebody, but there's some stuff backing me up here. It's not just my words. It's not just what I can do. It's not just what I'm doing in my own power, my own ability, my own mind. But I've got all of heaven backing me up right now. I've got the entirety of the Word of God backing me up. And I've got the power that rests upon the name that is above all names backing me up. Oh, hallelujah. Oh. So the book doesn't tell us we have to pray those exact words, and maybe you don't want to use those words. Maybe you want to get your own sort of prayer, and that's fine. But whatever you do, when you pray, you have to understand that you are praying upon the authority of the Word of God, and you are praying by the power of the name Jesus. And it's the power of the name of Jesus that I feel to talk about for the remainder of the service today. Oh, hallelujah. I feel faith in this house. You see, let me begin by saying this. In comparison to what some might be seeing today, people often wonder why the early church saw such miraculous things, saw such supernatural things. And when they compare the early church to maybe what they're experiencing, they wonder why we're not, or they're not experiencing more things. And I truly believe that one of the main reasons was because one of the main reasons that the early church saw those great and mighty things that are written about in the Word of God is because they had an understanding of the power that rested upon the name of Jesus. Maybe like we don't even have today. The understanding, that is. And the reason why they might have had a better understanding of his name and the power of his name was because they had something in their culture that we do not have in ours. For they had in their culture what was called, we touched on this sometimes in the past, but they had what was called a steward. And I want you to see what the Lord has to say about stewards. Luke chapter 12 and verse 42. And the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season?" Verse 43, "Blessed is that servant or that steward whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing." Verse 44, watch this. "Of a truth I say unto you that he will make him," who, the steward, "ruler over all that he hath." The master, when he finds a steward that he can trust, will make him ruler over everything that he has, that the master has. The early church understood that when the master of the house would leave and be physically absent, that he would entrust all of what he had to his steward to manage. Hallelujah. But more than that, and here's where it gets good. More than that, he would assign, as he leaves, he was going to go on a journey or whatever the case may be, he would assign power of attorney. That's what we would call it today. He would assign power of attorney to his steward to transact business on his behalf by simply using the name of the master. The master would say, "I've got to go. I've got to go away. But you are going to remain." Oh, hallelujah. "And as you remain, I want you to understand that you are not going to remain powerless. But I am going to give you all of what I have. All of what I am. All of what I've accomplished. Everything I've done, everything that I've built, everything that I have accomplished in my life, I now give it to you. And you can operate in it, and you can do it by using my name. So that steward, stay with me please, that steward who possessed nothing in and of himself could buy and sell property simply by using the name of the master. That steward that had no power and no authority on his own could make major transactions and deal with prominent businessmen simply by speaking the name of his master who had entrusted him with those duties. For that steward understood the fact. Get this. That steward understood the fact that when he used, this was the common understanding of that day, that when he used the name of the master, it was as if the master was there in person. When he's around the business deal and he uses the name of the master, the people he was dealing with understood that when he spoke the name of the master, it was as if the master was sitting there at the table himself. So, Christ says, I gotta go. I'm not going to leave you comfortless, but I got to get out of here. I'm going to send the Holy Ghost to you. And the Holy Ghost came. And then what happened? They were filled with the Holy Ghost and they were baptized in the name. I wish I had a voice. They were given the name of the master. He gave them his name. And they understood the fact that when they used his name, it was as if Jesus Christ himself was personally there in the flesh, transacting spiritual business for himself. There was no difference in their mind. There was no disconnect in their mind. They understood that just as a steward has power of attorney when the master is gone, so also does the believer have power of attorney when they have been given the name that is above all names. They knew that when they prayed in Jesus' name, that it was as if Jesus Christ was praying himself. They knew when they spoke against that sickness in the name of Jesus that it was as if Jesus himself was speaking against that sickness or that disease.
When they commanded evil spirits to depart in the name of Jesus, it was as if they knew Jesus himself was commanding those spirits to leave. Is it any wonder that they saw what they saw? Is it any wonder that they accomplished what they accomplished? Church, hear me. If we're going to see everything this book tells us that we can see, and if we're going to start operating in the dimension of the miraculous, like God has been talking to us about these last several weeks, it is absolutely imperative that we get back to an understanding that our brothers and sisters in the Lord had in the early church. We've got to get back to an understanding that when we preach, when we proclaim, or when we shout that name Jesus, we're saying more than just a name. We got to get a revelation that when we say the name of Jesus, followed by our command, that it's as if Jesus Christ himself was making that command in person. Come on, put your hands together. Give God praise. Give God praise. Brother Hawks, what kind of faith could we have if when directed to pray for someone who was sick? Luke, you always help me. Brother Luke. This Sunday, you're sick. I don't remember what you were last Sunday, but this Sunday, you're sick. It's great sitting on the front row, isn't it? What kind of faith could we have if when someone comes up for prayer for sickness in their body and we go to lay our hands on them and we say, in the name of Jesus. Brother Tapp, we don't see our hand on that head. But we see a nail-scarred hand resting on that head. Oh, what kind of faith could we have if we ever got a real revelation of the power of the name of Jesus? That it's more than just a name. It's more than just a word. It's more than just a handle that you got somebody's attention. But when you laid your hands in the name of Jesus, it was as if Jesus Christ himself was praying for Brother Luke. And that is where God is trying to take us to. That is the revelation that God is trying to get us to understand the power that is in the name Jesus, by the authority of the Word of God and by the power of the name Jesus, we move and we act and we minister and we proclaim and we cast out and we speak. Oh, hallelujah. We need to get the revelation that when we say the name of Jesus, it's as if him, Christ himself. That's why the book says in Mark chapter 16 and verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. And it goes on and on and on. But the understanding here is that everything it says after that is to be done in his name. In my name shall they cast out devils. In my name they shall speak with new tongues. In my name they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. In my name they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. In his name we're going to cast out devils. In his name we can speak against things that would try to do us harm. In his name we can lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. How are we going to accomplish these things? We're going to accomplish these things because we get a revelation and we get an understanding of the power that rests upon the name of Jesus. Come on, put your hands together, give him praise. Heard the story the other day
Pastor gets a phone call. Someone in his church, it was a little girl in his church that fell into a pool and didn't have air for quite some time, and she was unconscious, and they were rushing her to the hospital. Pastor, they called the pastor. Pastor rushes to the hospital, walks in that room, that hospital room, and because of the trauma that had happened to this girl, she was literally convulsing. They had to tie her hands down, tie her legs down. He said that her eyes were rolling around in her head. She was like this. And most of you probably won't remember it, but there was an old song. Some of the old timers might remember that. The healer's coming down the road. Anybody remember that song? The healer's coming down the road. Jesus is coming down the road. That pastor walked in. He sees that girl just convulsing. He walks in that room, and he just felt. As soon as he walks in the room, he just felt to start singing that song. Healer's coming down the road. The healer's coming down the road. And then he said, Jesus is coming down the road. The moment he sang that word, Jesus, the convulsions stopped. He got up in front of her and he said, here, her eyes stopped rolling around in her head. And she looked at him and focused on him for the first time in several minutes. And that girl was completely healed by the power of the Holy Ghost. Hear me right now. Whether we're singing that name, whether we're praying that name, whether we're preaching that name, whether we're proclaiming that name, whether we're whispering that name, or whether we're shouting that name, it doesn't matter. The miraculous is going to fall. The supernatural is going to be released when the people of God get a real revelation of the power of the name of Jesus that is attached to you at baptism. Come on, put your hands together. Give him praise. Oh, we got to understand the power of the name Jesus. Watch this. In Acts 3, we find the story of Peter and John going to the temple at the hour of prayer, and the lame man is there. Silver and gold have I none. Such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. In the name. Rise up and walk. But I want you to show you something. He's just been, this. So this man, he's healed. And the rulers of that day don't like it very much. They don't like it. They don't like what's happening. Because there was a big crowd that gathered around. And I think it was 5,000 people were saved because of it. Because of this man's healing. So they bring Peter and John in for questioning. And watch what they say. Acts chapter 4 verse 7. Watch. And when they had set them in the midst. When they brought Peter and John and set them in the middle. They asked. They said, by what power, comma, or by what name have you done this? Notice, Brother Tapp. They thought they were asking two different questions. By what power or by what name are you doing this? They thought they were asking two quick different questions, but in reality, it's the same question because they did not realize that the power rested in the name. Church, hear me. This world might not understand it, and society might not get it, and modern day religion might neglect it, but as a people of God, it is absolutely essential that we get the fact that all of the power that God has can be accessed through the mere mention of his name. My friend, we don't have to speak to Jehovah Jireh. We don't have to pray to Jehovah Nisi. We don't have to pray to Jehovah Tiskenu. We don't have to try to figure out what our issue is and then find out what characteristic of God would meet that. No, because my friend, when you say Jesus, you get the attention of everything that God is. All of his power, all of his might, all of his ability. Everything that he is and everything that he'll ever be, you can have access to it. You can open the door into the realm of his glory and into the realm of his power by the mere mention of his name. Jesus. Somebody shout Jesus. Jesus. Come on, somebody shout Jesus. Jesus.
Give Jesus a hand clap of praise right now. Oh. The power to see a book of Acts outpouring is in the name of Jesus. The power to see revival like never before is wrapped up in the name of Jesus. The power to see signs and wonders and miracles and the supernatural is in the name of Jesus. Jesus, we've got to get a revelation. That we are a people of the name. You are not some powerless spiritual weakling. You have to understand whose name is attached to you. What name you can speak at any moment, at any time. I want somebody to understand just how scared the enemy is about the name of Jesus that is attached to you. For watch this. Again, after Peter and John were used by God in the healing of the lame man in Acts 3, they were brought in for question. Now let's look at it again. Acts 4:14. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them. So the lame man was healed. There was nothing. He was absolutely healed. They, the ruling body, could say nothing against it. They couldn't say, no, he wasn't really healed. Because he was standing there completely whole. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred amongst themselves, saying, what shall we do with these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. We can't deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them. With what? That they speak henceforth or no more to any man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name. Don't speak at all about the name. Don't teach at all about the name of Jesus. Notice, get this. The enemy did not say that they had to stop preaching. The enemy said, you have to stop preaching in the name. Go ahead and preach all you want. Go ahead and teach all you want. Go ahead and talk to whoever you want to talk to about whatever you want to talk to them about. Just don't talk to them about the name of Jesus. Why? Because the enemy knows that preaching and praying and praising and believing that was not connected with the name was absolutely powerless. And that's why the enemy wanted. That's exactly what the enemy wanted. He wanted to take the power from them. So go ahead and preach. Go ahead and teach. Go ahead and do everything you want. Just don't do it in Jesus' name. So they use fear tactics to try and cause the church to stop operating in the name of Jesus. Oh, why is it that the enemy fears the name of Jesus so much? Why? He fears the name because he knows that God said this in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And hell knows that if the people of the name ever get together two or three of them just get together and they have a revelation of whose name is attached upon them, that God is going to show up right there in the middle of them. And hell knows when God shows up, the devil's got to go. And the devil's kingdom is going to come down. And so it's no wonder that he's fighting the name. It's no wonder that he's fighting the people of the name. It's no wonder he's throwing so much false doctrine in the world and trying to get so many people to get away from Jesus' name baptism.
Well, Pastor, you know, a lot of people, they love God and they really love the Lord, and they go to church and they were baptized in the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And I know we baptize in Jesus' name, but I know they really love God and all that kind of stuff. So, you know what? Can't we all just kind of get along? And if we want to be baptized in Jesus' name, that's good. And if they want to baptize in the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, all this stuff, let me tell you something. When you start going down that road, it won't be very long at all until you have gotten to the camp of the title people. Why is it that the enemy fights against this so much? I'll tell you why. Because there is no power. And listen, I'm not trying to be rude or mean to anybody. And I'm really not, believe me. But when you are baptized in the titles, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, you are baptized in titles. You are not baptized in a name. And therefore, there is no name that is attached to you. Therefore, hell does not have to fear you because he fears the name. Because the power is in the name. It is absolutely important and necessary if you want to have power for salvation that you are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Don't let hell mess with your mind about that. Don't let hell mess with your thought process about that. You see, this isn't my note. But this is the whole thing. I want you to understand the whole thing about oneness and Trinitarianism. The whole thing about that, when you boil it all down, it all comes back to a name. Because if you believe there's three, then you don't really have an understanding of whose name is attached to who. You got God and you got Jesus. Who's Jesus? And you got the Holy Ghost. But who? The name Jesus is attached to Jesus. But what about God? And what about the Holy Ghost? See what I'm saying? So where's the name go? But when you understand that it was not three distinct different entities, but it was one God manifest in the flesh, then you understand that all of who God is, his name is Jesus. It's not three different distinct people, but it is all of who God is, and his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. That's why hell is trying to infiltrate the religious world, and he's messing with our teenagers' minds, and he's messing with our hyphen age minds, and he's trying to get, well, they love God too. And I know they're Trinitarian and we're oneness, but they love God and they read their Bible, and so it must be okay. No, 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 no. You got to defend the truth. You got to defend the truth. You got to understand why the book says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." There's a reason why. Because when you understand that he's one, and then you attach his name to the oneness of who he is, that's when hell begins to tremble. And that's when power is released into your life. Come on, put your hands together. Give God praise. Somebody shout amen. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Let's skip a little bit here, but John 14:14. If ye shall ask anything in my name. He's trying to get us to understand we have power of attorney. Go ahead and get into the spiritual transaction, he says. Go ahead and step into that realm when you're dealing with spiritual things, or you're dealing with sickness or disease or whatever, and you begin to step out in spiritual things. When you do, he says, I know I'm not present as far as in the fleshly form of Jesus Christ with you. But he said, I want you to understand that when you're in that realm, use my name. Because whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. We get this? Oh, watch this. Hell fears a people of the name. John chapter 1 verse 45. Watch this. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. So watch. Humanity was saying, this is just Jesus of Nazareth. What can he do? Everybody with me? This is just Jesus of Nazareth. What can he do? What can he accomplish? What kind of power does he have? But then notice what the devils in hell said. Mark chapter 1 verse 24. Watch this. Saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Are you come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. The devils knew about the name and they trembled. Humanity said, it's just Jesus of Nazareth. Hell said, what do we got to do, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to torment us? The devil knew that the name Jesus was attached to the God who has all power. The devil knew the name and they were afraid. We need to get a revelation of the power that rests upon the wonderful, matchless name of Jesus. When you speak that name, sickness has to flee. When you speak that name, disease has to leave. When you speak that name, cancer has to shrivel up. When you speak that name, tumors have to disappear. When you speak that name, everything that has someone bound has to loose them and let them go. Why? Because there is power in the name of Jesus. Stand to your feet right now. Put your hands together. Give God praise. I want somebody just to begin to shout his name. I want somebody just begin to whisper his name. I want somebody just begin to speak his name. Jesus, 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 Jesus. The story was told to me of a young couple, similar story to what I told last Sunday, but completely different. A young couple, husband and a wife, they were aimers, they were missionaries, temporary missionaries, that's what aimers, a temporary missionary overseas, somewhere in South America. They went to a village, and in that village, there was a witch doctor that controlled everything and everyone. These people in that village were so controlled by this evil demonic force that rested upon this witch doctor that there was a tree in the middle of this village. And to worship this witch doctor, to pay homage and worship this witch doctor, they would go by this tree at certain days or certain times, and they would tie on this tree ribbons and feathers and different articles of clothing and all kinds of things. They would tie those things onto this tree. It was a shrine, so to speak, to this witch doctor. It was their form of worship to this witch doctor. This young missionary couple showed up to the village to minister in that village. And they were told about this witch doctor, and they knew that that witch doctor had the control spiritually, so to speak, for at least for a little bit longer, the spiritual realm in that city. And so they began to make their way to where that witch doctor was. And as in the case of the story I told last Sunday, that witch doctor came bounding out of that hut that they lived in at home, intent on doing bodily harm to this missionary couple, running right at them. This missionary couple simply lifted their hands and said, "In Jesus' name." Instantly, that witch doctor fell to the floor. Mid-stride, fell to the floor. This missionary couple went over to where this witch doctor was, began to talk with her, began to pray for her. In just a short time, that witch lifted her voice to the Lord, began to repent of her sins, and God miraculously filled her with the gift of the Holy Ghost. We don't have to, my friend, when you have the name of Jesus, you don't have to back down to anybody. You don't have to back down to anything. And if the story would have stopped there, it would have been a great, great story, very to build our faith. But it didn't stop there. For the missionary said that immediately, the moment that, believe it or not, the moment that witch who was no longer a witch began to speak in tongues, they said that tree that represented the evil and the wickedness that controlled that village spontaneously burst into flames and burnt completely to the ground. Nobody lit it on fire. Nobody put a match to it. But like Elijah of old, fire came down from the heavens. Ooh, what am I talking about? I've come to preach that there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Come on, lift your hands. Lift your hands. So here's what we're about to do. Acts 3, Peter and John, they said, "Silver and gold have I none, but I do have a name." What they were saying is this: in my own abilities, I don't have anything that can help you, but I have a name that can completely change your life. There are people in this room right now, you are sitting there. You've got disease in your body. You've got sickness in your body. You've got depression ruining your life, suicidal thoughts, families in a turmoil, all kind of issues, all kind of problems, whatever the case may be. In and of myself, I have nothing to help you with, but I have a name. I have a name. I said, I have a name, and the name that I have is the name Jesus. And I'm going to tell somebody right now that the name of Jesus, it is bigger than your sickness. And the name of Jesus is bigger than your disease. And the name of Jesus is bigger than the doctor's report that you heard. And the name of Jesus is bigger than the problem in your marriage. The name of Jesus is bigger than the problem in your home. The name of Jesus is bigger than the depression that is wrecking your life. The name of Jesus is bigger than that suicidal spirit that is trying to attach itself to you. I've come to tell somebody, there is no name like the name of Jesus. There is no name like the name that is above all names. His name is bigger than diabetes. His name is bigger than cancer. His name is bigger than tuberculosis. His name is bigger than multiple sclerosis. His name is bigger than your back pain. His name is bigger than your issues. His name is bigger than blindness. His name is bigger than crippledness. His name is bigger than every disease that you might be faced. By his name, by his name, by his name, you can be healed. By his name, you can be delivered. By his name, you can be set free right now. If you believe that, one more time, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Somebody shout his name. Somebody shout his name. Somebody shout his name. I defy every spirit in this room. I defy every spirit of infirmity in this room. I defy you not with my name, but I come against you with the name of Jesus Christ. By the authority of the word of God and by the power of the name of Jesus. I want every person in this room. I want every person in this room that needs a physical healing. Listen, we're going to do it different. I want every person in this room that you absolutely need a touch from God. You absolute physical, emotional. I'm telling you, hell is trembling. Spirits that have been attached to you for years, even right now, are trembling because they know they're about to get cast out. Mental torment. It's about to be healed. It's about to be healed. You're about to have a renewing of your mind. Oh. I said you're about to have a renewing of your mind. And it's not going to be because you got a new book from the Barnes & Noble. It's not going to be because you go through a 47-step program. It's going to be because somebody who understands the power of the name of Jesus lays their hand on your head and casts it out and commands a healing to flow into your mind. You ready? How many believe the power of the name Jesus is in this room right now? How many believe it? How many believe it? How many believe it?
How many believe it? If you believe it and you want the power of the name of Jesus to work in your life in these next few moments, I want you to quickly make your way out of your seat. I want you to come to the front. I want you to lift your hands to the heavens, and I want you to begin to cry out that name. I want you to begin to cry out that name. I want you to begin to cry out that name, Jesus. Yeah.